Welcome to the Weekly Zoo, where the show where you can bitch about anything, about what bothers you, safe place to call out Karens, and stuff like that. This is the show, and I sure should get a Webby Award for this kind of content that I do. I work really hard on this. I put how many hours this past year just to build up this media production space to do anything, because I'm the king of all media. Howard Stern worshiper. Don't tell them on that. Because that's going to make you look bad. Because I care about my vanity. Look at me. I'm so cute. I'm just kidding here. Welcome to the Weekly Zoo. This show is not brought to you by frontechyglass.clickford.net. Use the promo code Weekly Zoo on checkout. We are liquidating all of our assets for new stuff coming later in the season. We're going to try to get winter 2022 on a good start. Hopefully, global warming can take a year off, we hope. So you can do that. On tonight's show, we got LNR on Canopa 10. We're going to have talk about various issues. I just mentioned in the intro, if you have a crazy Karen in your life and you want to vent and bitch, this show is going to be the place to bitch about, you know, your crazy Karen kind of making a fool out of herself because she thinks her rights are more superior than other people's stuff. Again, Zoom for friends only, or actually women. I'll treat it the Zoom line like a contest line. Women can use the Zoom line for equal opportunity. It's kind of a joke on Howie Carr if you listen to the show for a gazillion years. So in tonight's show, what the hell's going on with this society? Is America, like, lost its balls? I mean, seriously. So I just don't get it. We got I don't know if I got cuts on here, but I'll start with the worst offense in order of, I don't like to be outraged. I just like to be, just be pissed off within a reason here. But Ted Cruz basically called Sesame Street a communist. Was it communist and Marxist? Because Big Bird, the perpetual 6-year-old Muppet Bird, basically made a decision with consultation with his granny Bird that he wanted to get vaccinated for COVID-19. And oh my God, if Ted Cruz, Mr. Gen Xer, Mr. Neil Caron, who probably never watched the PBS show, because I think his parents probably told him PBS stood for the Public Broadcasting System. You know, he's kind of that kind of a dick. He probably never watched Sesame Street, so he's just quick to think that anything on PBS is left-wing, completely brainwashing kids and shit like that. It's really getting really irate to see how people are just so angry at politics. Like, these people that have been elected don't really care about politics. If they really cared about politics, they would not take a side. They would take a seat. And I think this is just really sad how things are just are becoming now with Lauren Boebert, who's just a bimbo. She has no brains whatsoever. She apparently has a podcast studio in Congress, and I just think it's like people really they just want to be a politician just to own the libs. That's where we're at now, and I think it's sad. It's just, you know, I love being a fan of issues. I love to talk about what pisses me off, how to fix problems, how to not look at everything as a blue and red issue. You know, I'm kind of this centrist guy. I must be liberal if I'm centrist, but what's wrong with that? And you know, I posted something to my friends on Facebook that I like AOC. She's cute and pretty, but I don't. Her policies are not cute, and I, but I like her because she's an American. She serves her district, you know, a couple hundred miles to the south, and that's her, you know, her prerogative. Can we just like people for people and not personalize them because they have a different political persuasion? It's like last week I heard AOC on the squad on the channel with the searchlights, and I'm just kind of fed up with this. It's just juvenile. Today my grandmother's talking to the TV because Joe Biden's coming to New Hampshire to basically support his infrastructure deal. I have my reservations on it because I kind of don't, I like it to be for something that actually needs to be, like, 93, US 3, Bedford Turnpike, 101, they don't need to be modified. Those highways are pretty reliable. But what really drives me nuts is apparently now with the U.S. Department of Transportation, the exit numbers now will have to be, I guess if you're doing any future projects, you have to conform with the standard, which is by the mile. And you know how I am on that. I don't like this. I don't like it because it's very southern. I don't like the what's it called, Clearview, for its font on the signage. I think it's too modern, and it feels like it's emptiness. Okay, I went to the south about just a couple years to the day by this weekend, and the south is very bland, to be honest with you. And I know because Washington, D.C. and all the federal agencies are based in D.C. for the most part. They're all headquartered there, okay? So they're in the South. And they're very unoriginal, if you ask me. I think they're unoriginal. They're these highways are long and wide, or they're short. They could put up an exit number because they could be built to scale, because really there's not a lot of people that live in the South until the last, you know, couple decades. And that's why they create new highways like Interstate 87 in North Carolina. Now, when I think of I-87, I think of the New York State Thruway south of Albany. And I don't know why a highway, an interstate, could share a non-contiguous number. And I know people are going to bitch on me on that, but the South, I mean, when you look at the definitions of a limited access highway, it means that there's exits for every, they're spread out, okay? That alone should be exempted. There should be a Northeast exemption to the world, okay? Because in the South, they have the mile markers, and you're like one character per line. In New Hampshire and Mass, they put it all on this little sign, and you have to, like, see it within the tenth of the mile, and I don't like that. It's hard to read. So if you've got mile markers that are legible, like one number per line, why you need to have it? And, you know, they'll say, oh, it's standard. You know, people, you know, are accustomed to it. Well, I'm accustomed to seeing exits in succession, right? So I could, that's a moot point. Same thing with the Midwest, okay? Anything north and west of the Northeast, like New York and New England, that's really what I consider the Northeast. Pennsylvania is pretty southern because the Mason-Dixon line kind of varies. You got, you know, Virginia, Maryland, they're just bland. California, you know, 7-lane freeways. They have exit numbers on the miles. It wasn't always that way, because I remember California just having exit signs that they had to comply. Sometime in the last 20 years, they put the mileage on there. But it's like a good, it's like, to me, it works if to get a good, like, grasp of where you are. But if you've got mile markers that are legible, it's for an area where we are established. Now, Now you're going to tell me I'm going to go into a tangent. I'm not going to go into a tangent here because you guys are not. The those who think I'm going to go into a tangent, you're missing the point. I think the southern part of the United States really has really no history except for social history, like Jim Crow practices, like segregation. When you would hear about them preserving their heritage, it's not buildings of institutions. It's not the institutions, because they don't have any institutions. The institutions are social. I like to preserve, like, things over policies. And when you preserve racism, the wonder why you don't have much history. Because to them, progress is, yeah, let's tear an old building. Who cares? It's old. Let's build something there. Because, you know, we don't, the southern people don't have any originality. You know, if you're from the south, I'm going to say most of you are dumb, unless you're proven innocent, but I don't know any intelligent southern people south of the Mason-Dixon line. They're all dits. They're all airheads. They like to feel good. They like warm weather, but they're pretty bitter and angry. Here, before climate change, we have four seasons. We have old buildings. We have old roads, you know, alleyways and streets in Boston and like, you know, lower Manhattan. We have 3-lane highways. We got to drive at 55 miles an hour, but everyone drives like a Yahoo. That's why, you know, they're dangerous. If people stop driving like Yahoos, it'd be safer. But widening highways don't fix the problem. I like parkways. I'm a sucker for parkways, you know, particularly in the New York area. Yeah, it's scenic. We have history. We were the early settlers of this country. And we are a little bit more socially progressive than the airheads in the South. So that's where I'm getting a little skittish on infrastructure. I kind of wished, you know, like, what's his name? Mark Cuban. He's talking about, like, putting highways just for autonomous trucks. I think that's, to me, that's a fair point. That could work in the South and West because they have all the land. They could just go there. Liberal use of eminent domain. Property rights are more towards the individual. So, there's, you know, you could have a tower next to a house. Who cares? You can do whatever the hell you want. Zoning must be damned. But just look at Houston. Houston does not have any zoning. That's why Harvey happened. It's funny how these people that lean liberal don't believe in government and kind of some restrictions. You don't want to be too anal, but I don't think cities are great to have erratic buildings and neighborhoods. You want to have some structure. There's nothing illegal with that in the Constitution, if you ask me. But, yeah, I'm a little bit skittish on it, but right now I don't think anything's going to happen. And for the Northeast region, kind of going back to the exit numbers on the miles, I don't know how the hell Massachusetts could get away with it, because they did it, I guess, within the last year. Because I remember they were talking about it back in late 2019, early 2020, and they have the, you know, I'm more lenient to change in your typical New Englander, which they'll keep calling, you know, 95, 128, or Route 3 when it's not really Route 3, or it's US 3, and all that. But the exit numbers, I could, you know, exit 45 in Lawrence will be always exit 45 in Lawrence. Exit 48, are you guys kidding me? Let me, 93, for example, is very close to the mile. See, this is where I think the feds should try to put some waivers of, okay, we're not going to just really rewrite the exit numbers because it's just so stupid. It's like inflation. I hate version inflations. Why do you go from Windows 8 to Windows 10 to, you know, I don't like version inflations. I don't like exit inflations either. It's just like, can we stop making things look bigger than it seems, please? You're welcome. Sorry if I'm dark on the camera here. I'll try to get some lights in here on my next break here. But, Yeah, the South is just so unoriginal, and when I go there, it's very traumatic. You know, it's very very just like this is what people like. You hate the Northeast just because there's snow. You know, you like the fall. That's your favorite season. But you like your summer. You like your, you know, but you hate winter. It's just, you guys are so empty-minded. Y'all, that's my most least favorite phrase from you dummies in the South. Y'all, what's up? Y'all talking like a Texan, you know? Y'all. You sound like you've, finished first grade and dropped out. Where was your parents? Seemed like you didn't have any parents. You're kind of like a Kyle Rittenhouse. Oh my god, Kyle Rittenhouse. Ugh. So the jury's out for deliberation. And so basically this is a 17-year-old little boy. Oh, he's a grown boy. He's a proud boy, actually. And he basically was protecting property in a business with a military-grade weapon, assault weapons, as they say. It was an AR-15. I don't even know what an AR-15 is. And he killed somebody, and apparently he was a child rapist, something, a sex offender, possibly. And all the people on the Fox News channel and all the right-wing media could put him as a hero. But again, he was outside of curfew. He was 17 years old, okay? And he's carrying an assault rifle. He went to training in his native Illinois. So he lives in Illinois. It's like he lives on a border town like where I live. It's like me living here in Merrimack, going down to like Kingsboro and protecting business, shooting somebody. And, well, the crime happened in Massachusetts, and, you know, that's probably, depending on which prosecutor in Middlesex or Fender County, I could probably, you know, get in trouble. And apparently, in Wisconsin, if you shoot somebody with an assault rifle, you could be tried as an adult if you're underage or something like that. I didn't really follow word by word. I looked at the facts. I didn't look at, like, the articles or opinions. I'm like, okay, this guy's got a couple loose nuts. He's a right-wing. He's got the synergies of an extremist, but I'm not going to assault his character, but I think it's hard to charge people on homicides if you know, you're fighting or you're living in fear of your life, because that's a very subjective phrase now. You know, you're fear for your life, but what's, are you fear of your feelings or fear of your actual safety? And again, if you were carrying an assault rifle, well, someone's gonna grab that and they wanna, but I'm getting fed up with the way that there's a lot of law and not enough order, and I think it's a huge issue, a bigger problem that people need to talk about, because I just don't like prosecutors acting like, I mean, law enforcement officers acting like, oh, I'm going to just do the prosecutor's dirty laundry by punching him before I put him in the car. That's, you know, you're just a jerk. And I'm kind of getting fed up with this, and I think there needs to be reform. You know, when I was watching court TV, you know, back when Kimberly Guilfoyle was married to Gavin Newsom, where she was pimping the prosecution as a prosecution of the prosecution, like, was it more than 15 years ago? Okay, they were always pro-prosecution between Nancy Grace, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Vinnie Cosmopolitan, not so cosmopolitan. You had, I mean, almost every person on court TV was, they're guilty. We're going to poo-poo the prosecution and put it in defense. But the crimes at the time that court TV aired was nothing compared to what's been going on in the last 5 years, okay? And these are really egregious crimes. This is inexcusable for society, okay? I'm not saying that the proprietors did anything good. They should have stopped everything, okay? The moment a left leaning group is going crazy, they need to get them out. If it's on the right, It's got to be the same thing. There's got to be some standards. We got to stop sympathizing with the extremes. And this is a bigger problem. And I think no one's got any balls to call things out. And I'm going to be honest with you. If this insurrection happened with darker skinned people, you know these people would have been shot right on the spot. And the reason why I think the insurrectionists didn't back the blue on that day is because I think the Capitol Police people are a little bit more worldly, so to speak, in terms of the threat detection. Unlike a street cop, where he could be a cop faster than an E911 dispatcher. Okay, there's something wrong with that. Why does an E911 dispatcher that is probably dealing with a fraction of the time of the emergency have to, I mean, I understand it's phone and it's social, but you know, police officer, if you trained a cop like an E911 dispatcher or telecommunicator, whatever they do in your locale, I think maybe we could resolve crime instead of doing everything with a gun, a taser, and you know, it's this macho man. Like, men just have to let their aggression out. Don't do it on your job, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not going to defend the blue if, you know, you got to earn your trust. And I'm sick and tired of conservatives forcing people to obey authority just because they think they're Christ and they got a dick and I'm going to fling your dick whenever I feel like it. It's like, time's up for hyper-masculinity, in my opinion. We need to be a little bit more gentlemanlike. Like, you don't see this problem in Europe. I mean, smaller countries and different type of law enforcement structures, and we don't have as much freedoms in America, but you don't hear this problem that much with cops overseas. So it's got to be some American exceptionalism where we're so invincible we can just, you know, I mean, we have the most infections and deaths of COVID. So I guess, you know, that's what makes us special is we're a death cult right now. I'm getting fed up with Karens. I'm getting fed up with people just saying, I don't want a vaccine because I don't want to, you know, it's always these people in Generation X, these bastard middle children that think that, you know, their freedoms are more important than violating their responsibilities if they kill someone, if they hug them, violate social distancing without a mask and not being vaccinated. And not only that, their hygiene sucking. You know, it's like, you know, I have no respect for these jerks. And, you know, Donald Trump, you know, like I said, he's last week he did some crappy video, and he apparently has a Cisco call strangler in Mar-a-Lago now. He was like the Avaya fanboy, and now he's all Cisco. Why? Because his former employees had a Cisco, so if you make your office look like the White House, I guess he could be taken seriously. Where's my 7970 that used to be in the White House? Maybe I should make my house look like a White House. Maybe I would be taken more seriously by that logic. You know what's interesting? I don't know if I mentioned this here on the Zoo, but in Copenhagen, the many fake world, we'll talk about the real Copenhagen maybe later on the G26 summit, or no, the COP26. I'm sorry. I don't follow it that much. But we had a blizzard in the minifig world in 2015. I mean, it wasn't a blizzard for us, but for the minifigures, the Minifig State House got slammed. Our governor at the time was, we just had a change of governors. We went from a neocon governor named Patrick O'Ryan to a female, basically the first SJW politician, where, like, she's actually on death row now because they charged her negligent homicide because she didn't do anything during the blizzard. Minifigures were dying because they were trapped in the snow. Buildings were collapsing. The Minifig State House got destroyed. There was, like, four firefighters that died. I was doing youth gathering for a station while I was working for the state government, but I was actually leaving at that point. And I was on the scene with one of the news crews, and we had the, I don't know if Patrick or Ryan spoke to the press, or we had the Speaker of the Assembly. I don't remember. I have to consult the tape, and I think I still have the tape. But somebody asked, should the former governor take over? Because no one's taken over in Copenhagen. Because Copenhagen, and even Miniland, like, it's like a Manhattan. And it was like, you know, imagine Manhattan with 20 feet of snow. 20 feet of snow. Imagine that in Manhattan. And that's what it was like in the minifig ground. And they wanted Patrick O'Ryan to basically be the governor and basically just take over and just reinstate himself. And he said, I'm not going to do that. It's not my position, or something along that lines. I have to check for that. But even back then, we had, you know, a crisis. And he, being a conservative Republican, was not going to reinstate himself, even though he didn't get elected. And even though there wasn't a leader, he stayed on his lane. So that was back in February 2015, January into February. So again, I'll double check if I had the Rob video or an article from the Courier or the Miniland Daily News. But yeah, it was even back in 2015, we could have flirted with democratic danger. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll take some of your calls, Eleanor at 10, and then just continue talking about the issues of the week with a boy being respected as a young man, even though he's a boy. Crazy. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to the Weekly Zoo. It's like the morning zoo without music, and brunch here without fear.